And now, a man who has never had a relationship with a tree, Joe Souchere.
More cheap crap.
Yes, we can.
More cheap crap.
Yes, we can.
More cheap crap.
Yes, we can.
Grab your glue gun.
Yes, we can.
Warm it up nice and hot.
Yes, we can.
We got some cheap crap.
Cheap crap.
Try
more
it for yourself.
Crap.
Give
more
it a shot.
Crap.
More cheap crap.
More cheap crap. More cheap crap.
Where did, how did I explain to all GLers one time how the cheap crap movement began and where it began?
The dark people.
No.
Damn it.
Come on, you don't remember?
I need one more clue. Not an Oompa quiz, but I can vaguely... I'm trying to think of the cheap crap movement. I need one more clue.
Well, I mean, if I give you a clue, you're...
Oh, that'll get it?
Yeah.
You better tell me, and then I'm going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that.
It is my opinion that the cheap crap movement began with newspaper people. Because of why?
Because they are so cheap.
Cheap.
And they're always looking for to cut a cost or a corner in order to...
Anybody have a stepladder
yes,
I can borrow?
You're right. You know what? That's in fact what it was. Anybody have a stepladder or a razor?
Well, I hold in my hand an email from a friend of mine at the Pioneer Press.
Okay.
With an email that went out today to all the people on the news floor. Which these days is not that many.
Okay. And I'd like to pat myself partially on the back for newspaper people, dark people. I mean, you know, they're not too far.
But I submit to you that hands down, this not only proves my contention,
all right,
but is the greatest cheap crap email. And let me further explain that it was from this proclivity of newspaper people to, hey, anybody got a stepladder I can borrow this weekend?
Rather than have your own, which you should.
As an outgrowth of that, I think newspapers all over the country were at the forefront of these articles that told you how to make, you know, Christmas wrapping out of used tinfoil.
Right, or a soap.
Because they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, to get terribly philosophical, the other reason it would be an outgrowth of the newsrooms is that it plays perfectly into the dynamic that, generally speaking, reporters hold, that, you know, people are victims of evil corporations and they don't have any money and we're here to help you, show you tricks that can allow you to make your own soap. You know, out of a can of Mountain Dew and
right,
some hay or whatever the hell they come up with,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But it's an all stemmed from a trend I began noticing years and years ago. Anybody got two Bufferin?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for today?
Cheap crap.
I'm not going to tell you who sent it.
You don't have to. I if you think it's trustworthy, it's trustworthy.
Oh, I know. I'm not going to tell you who sent the email to his fellow reporters.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's trustworthy. Oh. This happened.
By the way, that's the first Bufferin reference I think I've heard on the radio in about 15
well,
years.
Okay, Advil or whatever. I don't
like, do they even
Johnny
sell them?
Bufferin.
I don't even, do they have Bufferin
I don't
anymore?
Know. Were they the little yellow ones?
Is I that, don't know.
So that
again,
was
Johnny
Newport.
Bufferin.
The bobber's right over there, Gramps.
You ready?
Yeah.
This went out to everyone. Anybody have soy sauce? Strange question, I know, but I brought in homemade sushi and forgot that I depleted my newsroom supply of soy sauce.
No.
I'm not making this up.
No.
These are the cheapest.
Soy sauce?
Do you think I can say who did this? He's such a good sport.
Yes. We're not ripping him. It's just...
And we've had him on the air. And I like him.
I think
you already know who it is.
I know who it is, and he knows his stuff. He knows his stuff.
Oh, he's a character,
and he's fun to talk to when he's waiting to. He'll come into the Saturday show down the hall, Allison Kaplan, and he'll sit out there, and he's fun to talk to about that stuff.
Julio Ojeda Zapata. Subject, anyone have soy sauce? Strange question, I know, but I brought in homemade sushi and forgot that I depleted my newsroom supply of soy sauce. I got a further correspondence that sure enough, somebody had some soy sauce.
Oh, they had it just sitting in their desk drawer.
I suppose a packet.
Yeah, I was going to say they could have had the packets of it, too.
Sure. And so Julio got his soy sauce. But I'm telling you, that's my greatest example right there. Anybody got any soy sauce?
That's about as low as it gets.
Well,
you know what makes it even worse, too? If it was the packets of it, because that means that that person got them from a restaurant. They didn't go out and buy a bottle of soy sauce.
When they were selling Buffren.
Yes.
That's how old that is.
Well, no, but think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Not only is it astonishing that they're that cheap, but somebody actually had soy sauce.
Somebody said, you know,
and Reavers is right. It's the packet from some Chinese takeout food place that they brought back the soy sauce. So not only did he ask for soy sauce, he got the soy sauce.
What he wanted.
You know that very thing happened here not that long ago.
Oh, I'm sure it's common among
people ask for soy sauce.
No,
maybe it's common to this entire industry.
We've got the workplace fridge over here, Joe.
I know I've never opened it in my life.
Oh, really?
I've never
there's some good stuff in there.
Never looked in there. I'm afraid I would not like.
No, our gal Leslie does a good job of cleaning it out. But they've got the salad dressings and all that stuff in there.
Or do people have their names on them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And someone who will remain nameless brought in a salad, and didn't bring in dressing.
Height. Was
someone,
it height?
Someone.
Was
someone.
It,
here
was it height?
Brought in salad
because he eats like a rabbit. He's always eating carrots or grapes, lettuce.
That stuff.
And okay, started, so height didn't bring any dressing in.
So, and started to use the dressing that was marked, MH or whoever's initials it was.
Yeah.
And I knew, because I knew who the person was, that wasn't their dressing. And I said, oh, so you're going to mix it up with this kind of, well, it's not mine anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But that's, when you're using someone else's dressing out of the workplace fridge, it's.
You're not a fan of? I'm on to you.
Stay out of my head.
No, here's what you're going to say. You don't like eating at work anyway.
No, I do not.
You want people to go and have your lunch.
Sure.
Leave and have your lunch. But you don't like when people eat at work.
Well, I can even narrow it down more for you. I don't like when people eat where I can be seeing them eating while we're trying to do the show.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, I'm looking at him.
It's just even on principle.
I don't
eat at your desk.
No,
go to the cafeteria.
May we have some civility, please?
Yeah, that's.
I don't want you.
I know you.
I don't want people munching. And I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
The last thing I'd ever borrow from somebody out of that refrigerator is somebody's salad dressing. You don't know where that stuff's been.
And how long it's been in there.
That's right.
That's true.
Oh, man. What if it was left out for an hour or something and then somebody put it away? It could have.
Where popcorn, like people make popcorn.
Oh, no, that's dreadful. I think I've pretty much won that battle. No one's had the guts to make any popcorn.
They don't even do it upstairs?
Oh, no. No, it's not allowed.
Do you get a migraine when you smell the microwave popcorn?
No, I throw a tirade.
He's got veins popping out and his face gets all red and. Holy, basically he'll come down and.
Well, the big one and the tall one, I've cured them. They used to make all kinds of junk.
Yeah, like tuna casserole, reheat that, and he'll come down. What the?
Except I don't need any. I don't need any satellite music.
No, I just couldn't say
we're not
on
the air.
Right.
Anyone have soy sauce?
Soy sauce.
Wow.
But he got it. That's what I can't believe.
And how about warm soy sauce out of the packet on sushi?
That's another thing.
Ugh.
I've never had sushi.
Oh, really?
But is that what you put on it, is soy sauce?
You can put a number of things on it. I know soy sauce is pretty popular. I'm not a big sushi fan myself.
Well, he says it was homemade sushi.
Ugh.
How difficult can that be? Isn't it just raw fish?
Yeah, but you have to roll it, and you've got to cut it with rice and all that. It can be a bit of a process. It's just much easier to buy it.
Since we're speaking of food, and I am extremely hungry.
Well, that's too bad.
I tried for the first time the old Hong Sen's Vietnamese restaurant across from Ramsey Junior High.
On Grand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right by Wet Paint. It's called Indochine right now.
Yeah.
I tried it the other night.
Yeah.
It is probably the best.
Are they a sponsor?
No, and I paid full. I don't even know the people. I paid full price. It is the best Vietnamese food that uses good chicken, good beef, and the egg rolls are to die for. It is unbelievable.
Are egg rolls supposed to have meat in them?
They can.
You can get pork or vegetarian. If you go there, get the pork egg rolls.
I would love to.
You would.
I love those.
You would. They are the best.
But then I'd have to put out an email blast if anybody had any soy sauce.
Yeah, we got to bring your own soy sauce for sure.
Or sweet and sour.
So you went and got takeout there?
We went and got takeout. We tried it for the first time. Yeah.
Really? I might give it a try. I love that stuff.
690-272.
I don't need the. You don't have to. You know, let them come aboard if you want to, you know, be that much of a sponsor for them.
There's not a lot of Vietnamese restaurants lined up to advertise.
Well, there should be. Logic. There should be.
They should.
No, what they should be doing is sponsoring the 3:30 news segment.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good idea.
Joe, I'm a longtime listener and love your thoughts on baby names and what is real and what is a Scrabble game name. The reason I am emailing is I am soon to be a father of a girl and would like to get your thoughts on the name before we start telling people.
Oh, no.
My wife says the name is still in discussion when people ask, but I know that's not the case, as her mind is made up. I would like to get your opinion so at least I can say that Joe approved it or foghorned it, and I have proof of your ruling. I am comfortable with either response you give. The name is Daylin Amelia. Daylin is spelled D-A-E-L-Y-N.
Ooh. Oh, a double.
The middle name is named after the lake they have a cabin on.
A grandmother?
It's a double Duluth foghorn. There's no St. Daylin, D-A-E-L-Y-N.
Yeah, and Daylin. Come on, pal. You know her mind is made up and you're too much of a wimp to change it.
Signed, Dan.
What was the middle name? Amelia?
Amelia, because they got a cabin apparently on Lake Amelia.
But had the name been applied without
a grandmother?
The circumstance of a lake, it would have been okay.
Yeah, and plus I'm not even in the business of foghorning middle names, but this maybe wouldn't have even have gotten foghorned if it was Amelia Daylin.
Yeah, this.
See?
Oh, I see what your little flip-flop. Well, you know, maybe there's, maybe he's got the guts to say, let's try
Amelia. Maybe he's got the guts to say to his wife, can we please go at least Amelia Daylin?
But then she's going to be called Amelia Bedelia for the rest of her life.
Yeah, but what's Daylin? Who made that up? That's just B as in B, S as in S.
Daylin. What
Daylin.
Is it? Daylin.
Daylin.
Yeah, Daylin.
One
That's,
more. Can't take it.
It's short for daylight savings.
Yeah.
I got the Daylin going. Yes, sir. I got Daylin. We are going to marry
Daylin.
She's 25 now. I'm going to marry Daylin.
It's what? 5 o'clock in the morning. Daylin. We lost a great living American.
We keep losing them. Who did we lose?
Charles Bailey. Charles W. Bailey II.
All right.
For the 10 or 11 years I was at the Tribune, he was the editor.
He was the bow tie guy?
He's a bow tie blue blooder from Boston. Nicest guy, though. You know, pretended he was this hard guy. He wasn't. He was I really got along with him. Went
sounds
to
like
Harvard.
It sounds like he went out with a bang when he left the paper, though.
Well, he made a good stand. They were cutting his staff, something dreary, so he said, the hell with you, I'm out of here.
Hmm.
He wrote 7 Days in May. You guys wouldn't have heard of that. But, interesting guy. He could be a charmer, I'm reading here, by Laurie Sturdivant. Boy, there's not many people around over there who were there when he was there. You know, the turnover has been, I mean, he was long gone, for example, by the time Patrick arrived.
Mm.
But he came aboard as editor in 72. I joined the paper in 73. He was done being editor in 82, and they were done with me in 84.
Mm.
Pretty much my run was his run.
Right.
And those were tumultuous years for the Nation and the newspaper. Bailey applied his considerable talent to the service of both. He had been the Tribune's Washington correspondent for 18 years. You know, he was on the plane that brought Kennedy's body back from Dallas, and right. You can see him in that famous picture of Lyndon Johnson taking the oath of office.
Mm.
It's Bailey in the doorway of the plane.
Wow.
Yep. He traveled with a lot of presidents. He believed that readers of a regional paper were as deserving of a steady diet of national and international news as any reader in Washington or New York. He also believed that women were as journalistically capable as men. Well, he was wrong on that count. No, I'm kidding. On his watch, women moved from the first time into news leadership positions in beats that had formerly been male bastions. He considered the 1977 National Women's Conference in Houston news big enough to assign a young reporter, Lori Sturdivant, to accompany the Minnesota delegation and spend weeks doing the homework such an assignment required. Bailey held the quality reporting made for quality newspaper. He didn't hesitate to dispatch reporters to the scene of the news no matter where. Right now, that was true. Man, people in that building were always on the road. Mm-hmm. They could worry about buying their overnight toiletries after they filed their stories. When the Minneapolis Star and Minneapolis Tribune merged amid a flurry of cost-cutting in 82, and they really brought in some people who couldn't hold a candle to the likes of Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey became editor of the combined enterprise, but when the red ink kept flowing and the company slashed another 75 positions, Bailey resigned in protest. He didn't want to be the head of a news enterprise too depleted to function up to his high standards. The cuts he resisted were made, but the standards he set persisted in the Star Tribune's institutional conscience long after Bailey left. A lot of us who earned our journalistic stripes in his newsroom coveted his praise, and in some ways we never stopped seeking it. I would have to include myself in that sentence. Occasionally I'd get a note with a kind word from him years later. Those notes and memory are keepers. You know what I also remember about him? He and his family had a cabin in the wilderness of Canada.
Really?
A lodge or something, yeah. I just remember him talking about it. It wasn't like he invited the newsroom up.
Right,
there.
Right. Hey, come on up, Such.
But he was a dashing, you know, the bow tie, blue Oxford cloth button-down shirt, wingtips. Kind of not like today.
You know? You're not quite seeing that?
Not quite seeing that today, you know. But he was a nifty guy. And I think he died of Parkinson's. Mm. He was 82. He died at a convalescent home or some sort of care facility on the East Coast. So as far as I'm concerned, that was he was a great living American. We'll be back with the weather in just a moment. Here in the Channel 5 Weather Center is Dave Dahl.
Thank you, Joe. We're going to have partly cloudy skies. It's going to be mild the next couple of days, actually all the way into the weekend, even though it does cool down a little bit Saturday and Sunday. 27 for the low tonight, 46 tomorrow. Could get close to a record if not go above it. I think we're going to go above it. Record is 47 tomorrow. So way back in 1885, that's what, 127 years. Southwest winds at around 5 miles per hour. Then 40 on Friday, 30s for highs for Saturday and Sunday. Next week starts out in the 40s, but a big change. And we're talking probably finally feeling a little bit like winter middle of next week, and that could last for a while. Temperatures really drop then. But until that time, mild 27 tonight. Right now we're at 35.
Thank you. You know, with the passing of Charles Bailey, something occurs to me.
Yeah?
The only two editors who ever signed off on me becoming a columnist are now dead.
Really?
Bailey in Minneapolis and Deborah Howell in St. Paul.
Oh, Deb Howell. Where did Deb Howell go?
Because when these fruitcakes they brought in to replace Bailey took over for Bailey, they couldn't get rid of me fast enough. And Howell plucked me from the ash heap and gave me a shot in St. Paul. Died a few years ago in New Zealand in an accident.
Oh, man. Oh, I kind of remember
that.
Did I hear you right? This editor in question was the guy standing in the door on the plane as LBJ
You can probably Google the picture.
Yeah, I've seen the picture a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Who was the McGuire goofball at
He was one of these characters they brought in to run the combined deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he is now. Bailey in Minneapolis and Howell in St. Paul, two really good old-fashioned newspaper people.
Messy desks, that corner office that had the blinds that would move every time they would close the doors.
Well, Howell was.
Oh, was she?
And Howl Hat was far more profane than Bailey ever was.
I think that's what I remember you and Patrick describing her. Or
well, she... Pat tells the great story of many years went by after Pat had abandoned the St. Paul paper, really angering her, and going to Minneapolis, you know, 10 years or whatever. And one day he hears her unmistakable presence in the building, and she's talking to a group of women. And all of whom are paying rapt attention to her. And she sees Pat, and she goes, "You fat!" And wow. These women, she were blanching. they couldn't believe it. it was really wonderful. Garage Logic will be back in just a moment. And now, courtesy of Federated Insurance with the Dow Jones Money Report, is Bruce Vail.
Hi, Joe. Encouraging sales results from automakers led to an early rally on Wall Street today, but it faded late in the day, leaving the market mixed at the close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average did pick up 21 points, moving to 12,418. The NASDAQ Composite dropped a fraction. The S&P 500 gained a fraction. Walgreens and Super Value are restocking their shelves with Enfamil baby formula after federal health officials declared it to be safe and free of the bacteria that killed a Missouri baby 2 weeks ago. The retailers had pulled a formula made by Mead Johnson Nutrition as a precaution while tests were performed. Walmart, which was the first retailer to pull the formula from shelves, said it was still assessing the test results. Macy's says it will close 9 underperforming Macy's and Bloomingdale's stores. One of the Bloomingdale's to be closed is in the Mall of America. Clearance sales will begin at the stores on Sunday and run for 10 weeks. Then the stores will shut down for good. I'm Bruce Vail with the Dow Jones Money Report on 1500 ESPN.
Here's Action Force Team 1500 rush hour traffic.
Okay, thank you, sir. Southbound 35E, boy, do whatever it takes to avoid this stretch of freeway between downtown and Highway 13. That stretch of freeway right now running 45 minutes. It's due to a left lane blocker at Highway 13. Yeah, we'd call that gridlock of biblical proportions. Way out in the West Metro, northbound 494, right lane blocker at Highway 7. You're going to see delays there. You'll also see delays northbound 169 approaching 394 due to a wreck on the right shoulder. It's right around Betty Crocker Drive. Highway 55, still a disaster around 494 Vicksburg Lane. It's due to the traffic lights at Niagara Lane being on flash, so both directions suck there. And way out to the East Metro, southbound 694, it's a left lane blocker at County 10. That's your traffic on 1500 ESPN.
Special mix I made.
What? No, we heard it in cue. It was fine.
I'll be there in an hour. That's working now.
Are we allowed to air this version?
Why not? It's on Tim, isn't it? Oh, well, take it down.
He needs a stand that he can borrow.
Oh, I think the last cut you played, Rook, featured DJ Skip.
Man.
Here's John Height in the newsroom.
Thank you, Joe. Clear and 35 degrees. The locals in action tonight. Gophers hoops at Williams Arena. They play Iowa, 8 o'clock. You can listen to the game right here at 1500 ESPN. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock start. Timberwolves try to make it 3 in a row. Memphis in town, a 7 o'clock game at the Target Center. The Memphis Grizzlies will be without their top player starting tonight for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Zach Randolph had an MRI that revealed that he has a torn MCL in his right knee.
You know who the Wild activated for tonight?
Who?
Gucci.
Really?
After that knee injury. Yeah.
I was hoping it was going to be that big fat goalie, or the old goalie, not the big fat goalie.
No, Setaguchi.
The Wild are on the road tonight. They play the Canucks in Vancouver.
Good night to just be on the couch
with
the radio on, listening to the Gopher
right.
game.
Of course. That's right.
I like Grimm. I think he does a great job.
Oh. Regular season NFL ratings on Fox were the network's highest in 16 years. Games this year averaged a 12 rating and 24 share. That's up 2% from last year, according to Nielsen Media Research. Fox also said today it was the best NFL rating since 1995. Fox averaged 20.1 million viewers, tying 2010 as the most viewed NFL season.
Do you think anybody will pick Denver in the poll this weekend in our thing?
I know one person will.
You?
No, and he's sitting in the other room.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I already picked Pittsburgh.
Oh, you
I'm
did?
I'm thinking about it, too. Well, you know what? Maybe a little challenge.
The only road team I picked was Pittsburgh.
Well, don't tell me your picks.
I'm not taking it seriously. Well, I'm taking it seriously now. I'm not finishing last to you.
It's time to get real.
Yeah.
I took another road team, but I don't remember who it would have been.
There wouldn't have been.
Oh, I took Cincinnati. I took Cincinnati.
Where are they playing?
They're at Houston. Houston. Are you serious?
Oh, I would not. That's a stupid pick.
Hey, good game, man.
News notes from today. Michelle Bachmann did not take questions after today's announcement that she's leaving the presidential race, and she didn't talk about her future plans either, including whether she'll endorse another Republican for the nomination or seek re-election to Congress. Bachmann says she has no regrets about her campaign for the GOP nomination. Bad news for local Bloomingdale shoppers. The retailer closing its doors at the Mall of America. The company says it's closing down underperforming stores. Final clearance will begin Sunday, January 8th, run for about 10 weeks. Mall of America does say it knew this was coming.
Is that a woman's store, basically?
No.
Anything there I need?
No.
Not really.
Pots, pans, sheets.
They do sell.
Hand warmers.
I think you could get chaps.
Oven mitts.
You might be looking for a good cup of coffee for a fancy coffee machine.
We got one for Christmas.
Men's shoes. Men's shoes and ties.
I checked out their shoes. That's when I went down the lane and got them a used pair.
You know what, though? That's going to be a...
Oh, you are cheap. Yeah.
That's going to be one expensive piece of real estate at the Mall of America here, though.
What do you replace that with?
The Mall of America says they were ready, and they have at least 4 international retail stores they're adding to that area.
Welcome to Swahili's.
It is good for the community.
Ah, yes.
Wow. Bloomingdale's was one of the original anchor stores when the mall opened in 1992. It's one of 4 Bloomingdale's that's closing around the U.S.
I think I've got some of the stuff here for the new. They're just about to lift the curtain, shall we say?
4, 3, jeez. 2,
okay.
1, 0.
Here we go.
Mystery in Great Britain. It's been 3 days since a woman's body was found on Queen Elizabeth's vacation estate. Authorities say they still don't know who the woman is. Samples taken from the body did not provide a DNA profile. All authorities can confirm is that the victim was a young, white adult female between the ages of 15 and 23. She was not stabbed or shot, but authorities are calling her death a murder. The Queen and Prince Philip are still at Sandringham. They're not going back to London for another week. Update on a story we had a couple of weeks ago. That New York lawyer representing a trust that turned in a winning Powerball ticket hours before the deadline for a $14.3 million jackpot says he'll come to Iowa next week to explain the mysterious circumstances.
Huh.
Crawford Shaw told the Associated Press today he is not the winner himself. He'll reveal the members of Hexham Investments Trust when he meets with Iowa lottery officials. Shaw said, I think we have an interesting situation. I think everything will be okay when all the facts are put on the table.
You don't have to come
forward,
though.
You have the ticket or you don't have the ticket.
Right.
Shaw signed the winning hot lotto ticket, which was turned in by a Des Moines law firm he retained less than 2 hours before last week's deadline. Lottery officials won't pay the jackpot until they're satisfied the ticket was legally possessed.
Well, what constitutes that? The guy either had it or he didn't.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
What's the pot? What was he? What's it?
14.3 mil. Huh.
You know.
And if I remember right, they only bought one ticket.
Not sure.
They didn't buy 5 or 10 or 20. They just bought one.
Just bought one is give you just as good.
You know, like John
got one.
Like John buying twins ticket.
Yeah, he's got one ticket.
He's got one.
Hey, wait. You know what? As long as you guys brought me into this conversation,
yeah.
I've never stolen anybody's salad dressing out here. Just so everybody knows that.
So it wasn't John.
I used vinegar.
I said it was not. I didn't say it was.
No, Chris did not say it was you. It was me. I thought it was me.
I use vinegar or
Vinegar's. You called it years ago.
That's all right.
We can smell it for like 3 blocks too.
Doesn't
every day.
It smell good?
Oh, it's horrible.
Well, we'll have more news in just a moment.
Did you find any information?
What is this hippie music?
How does he not like this?
Such, help us out here. We've been having a very hot argument off the air here, and it's Chris versus Kenny. I think when you win the lottery, you have to show up. You have to do that press conference. Your face has to be out there in public. Reavers is disputing that. What do you say?
I think you can assign representatives.
And I think you can remain anonymous. I think that you have to come forward, maybe sign for it, but they cannot release your information.
Why is it that for years I've been under the impression that when I hit it big, I'm not going to be able to run and hide? I'm going to have to go to that stupid press conference, and I'm going to have to sit there in front of the camera.
It's because you hate people.
I know who can settle it all. The Volk for us.
Yeah, he's the gaming
control board guy.
John, I haven't forgotten the news.
Thank you, Joe. In Clarksville, Tennessee.
That was all your input was on that?
I think you don't have to. I think you have to show up and say, "It's me," but I'm not doing the press conference.
Yeah, Solomon has ruled.
I don't think you can remain anonymous. I think you're right, Joe. But I think you can skip the press conference.
Yeah.
I don't.
Who would want to? You want to give him a sob story? I was going to go to the bar, and I just happened to buy one lottery ticket. People love those stories.
In the newsroom.
Thanks, Joe. In Clarksville, Tennessee, an unusual theft. Someone swiped the deck off the back of Jadranko Bezlik's home. His wife lived in the house while he was in the Army. Now they live in Atlanta. A friend was returning to Fort Campbell and said she wanted to rent his home, but when the prospective tenants came to look at the place, the deck was gone. Bezlik says he's stumped as to why anyone would want to steal an entire deck.
You need a pretty big trailer, too.
That's a big job, isn't it, John?
Yes. He told the local paper they filed a police report and an insurance claim. An ancient Roman coin believed to allow entry to a brothel has been discovered in London on the bank of the Thames River. Why do the experts think it was used in a brothel?
Yeah.
The bronze coin, or spinitra, as it's known, is thought to date back to the 1st century A.D. It has an imprint of a man and woman having sex on one side, with Roman numerals for 14 on the other.
Huh. That was to signify number of seconds, Kenny.
Oh, wow, that's 14? Who's got that much time?
Maybe that's the number you took when you went in, like at a bakery.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, maybe they were buying stamps,
that
too.
That is.
You want to do this electronically? No, in person, please. Thank you.
That is one theory, Joe. You are correct.
Thanks, John.
That's one theory.
Good thing there are two of us here, John, to analyze this intelligently.
The other theories are that the number...
Did the guy have 14 tattooed on his bicep? No. Hey, 14!
I'd like to hear this, man.
He was the 14th in line?
The other theory...
Oh, boy. Somebody needs a shower.
The other theories are the coin could indicate the cost of brothel entry or the price of the activity depicted on the other side of the coin.
I'm liking option number one. He went in, he's the 14th guy they're going to call.
The spinitra was found by pastry chef.
Or it
chef.
Could be a room number, John.
You're next,
sure,
pal.
Room
Get
14.
Yeah, even if you're six, I'm not liking that at all either. Yeah.
The spinitra was found by a pastry chef, Regis Corsan, who was
running cold water over the area numbs it.
Who was combing the banks of the river near Putney Bridge when he made the discovery. He donated the item to the Museum of London, where it is now on display.
Well, London's virtually a Roman archaeological dig.
Yeah, you just got to dig deep enough for up.
And they're finding all kinds of stuff. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Based in northern France, La Redoute is a powerhouse among fashion retailers and the largest mail order company in the country.
Oh, never heard of them.
Yeah, I haven't either. I may be pronouncing it wrong.
Maybe they'll end up at the mall.
They also run a hugely successful order service online in the UK and other parts of the world. Had a little problem with an ad on their website today. The shot featured four children all dressed in the La Redoute swimwear and happily playing on an idyllic-looking beach, walking in the water about 50 feet behind them, a totally nude man.
Oh, whoops. Boy.
A big fat one, too, I bet, huh?
Visible from the ankles all the way up, as you'd expect, they got some complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Was he like an acorn down there?
Beat it, loser.
And there ain't no
flag. Well, the good news, if that photo doesn't work for this company, Penn State might be able to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Redoute responded by posting an apology on its Facebook page and vowed to remove the picture in question. Nothing is known yet about the identity of the unfortunate
man. What are you looking at it?
Accidentally photobombed the fashion shoot.
No, I'm just reacting to a funny joke.
Oh.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a friggin' idiot?
No, you did a good enough job yourself, Sandusky. Mm-hmm.
Police in Florida say a drunken driving suspect who said he only had two drinks had a receipt in his pocket showing a $140 bar tab.
Wow.
Police said they stopped an orange Hummer on East Silver Springs Boulevard early Friday after a report of a possible drunken driver.
Orange?
40-year-old Bradley Garrison had a strong odor of alcohol in his breath, but told officers he only had two drinks at the Charlie Horse Lounge. Garrison was arrested after failing a field sobriety test. While searching Garrison, The officer said he found a receipt in his front pants pocket from the restaurant showing purchases, including 20 Jack Daniel's drinks and other drinks for a total bar tab of $139.09. Police say they're not sure, of course, that Garrison consumed all the drinks, but he was taken to the Marion County Jail, where he couldn't complete a breath alcohol test because he couldn't stop vomiting.
Oh. God.
That reminds me of that great YouTube video of the old guy being administered a breathalyzer, and he tips it back like it's a bottle of booze.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say the guy that was already in the station, and he fell off his chair and put his head through the sheetrock.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. He's just trying to... He was sitting uphill.
Oh. After his head hits the wall, he just goes, oh.
But a $140 bar tab, Reavers, that's amateur.
Ah, yeah, that's Wednesday
that's,
night.
That's nothing.
A secret Santa has told an Ohio man not to expect any more pecan pies, which started arriving mysteriously 35 years ago. Willis Welch said the pie that showed up at his Columbus home during the recent holiday season was accompanied by a note that said, "It's been a great ride." The person who signed it, Pie Fairy, also wrote, "My wings are shorter now, and I'm a little too fat to fly anymore, but I still love you."
That would freak me out.
I wonder if he ate them.
Columbus,
did he?
He did, yeah. Columbus Dispatch reports that the 87-year-old Welch still doesn't know who was sending his pastries, though whoever did it knew him well enough to know of his fondness for pecan pie.
Where do you sit on pecan pie, Joe? You a fan?
Joe?
Yeah, I'll have a slice of that occasionally, sure.
Such?
For breakfast.
Do you like pie?
No, for breakfast I do. Yeah. Don't like it for dessert.
Pecan
don't eat dessert.
Pie for breakfast?
I don't eat dessert.
Oh, okay.
Welch says the first pecan pie came in 1976. His two daughters have denied any involvement, so he says he's not sure who could have done it. Massachusetts woman fed up with her bickering kids called police and asked responding officers to arrest both of them. The Salem woman told police who came to her home on Monday night, "Arrest both the kids. I can't take it anymore." The woman said her five children had been fighting all day, but things came to a head when her 15-year-old son hit her 8-year-old daughter. Then the 16-year-old daughter intervened to protect the 8-year-old sister. Salem News reports that when police asked what they could do and why they were called, mother said, she wanted all her teenagers arrested. Instead, police say they will summon the 15-year-old boy to court to talk about him hitting his young sister. No names were released.
Is there a dad in the picture?
No dad in the story, Kenny.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, sometimes moms threaten to do that, but they don't ever really do it. This mom actually did it, huh, John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine.
I did.
You've got to post it, Rook.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, repost it.
I reposted this guy.
The drunk guy in the police station puts his head right through the sheetrock.
He's reaching
awesome.
For his...
It's just so good.
But then when he stands up, he goes all the way down the hall.
He falls out the door and down the hall.
He's literally walking uphill as he just slides. Watch him now. He'll go out and the cop has to kind of find him. Where are you going? Where are you going, pal?
Hey, whoa,
and he just...
All right, we're going to be...
Where are we? Wait a minute. Where are we going to find that, Rook? Where
1500ESPN.com under Garage Logic. Drunk guy falls into wall.
Here in the Channel 5 Weather Center is Ken Barlow.
All right, Joe, get ready for a warm one tomorrow. We'll probably get very close, if not break the record that goes all the way back to 1885. 46 is where we're headed after a very warm night tonight, 27. Remember, the average low now is 8, so it'll be way above that. Friday turns cooler but not cold. 40 the high, 30s this weekend, 40s again Monday and Tuesday. But, Joe, there's a lot of indication now that by the middle and end of next week, Arctic air will come spilling down out of Canada for the first time this entire winter, just when you thought it was over.
All right, thank you. Here's Kenny with Action Force Team 1500 rush hour traffic.
With ugly news regarding 35E, we'll start with northbound. That freeway closed approaching County 14. Air Care on the scene right now picking up a crash victim. Traffic jamming County J. That's nothing compared to southbound 35E, a one-hour drive between downtown and Highway 13 due to an earlier accident. If you want to avoid that, make a move. Get over to Highway 52 southbound, wide open. 55 still ugly. Traffic lights on flash at Niagara, and northbound 494 jammed at the crosstown due to a right lane blocker at Highway 7.
Phil Mackey and Tom Pelissero are in the house because you have Talking Twin 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, and you will have Jason Marquis.
Jason Marquis will join us. We'll talk about Francisco Liriano making his winter ball debut, break down the relief options. Mainly Phil's just going to talk.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you about the $1.5 million 6th and 7th inning relief pitcher options the Twins have.
All right.
Left in their repertoire.
And then, Tom, you'll be on You'll be on 7 to 7:30, and then at 7:30, Gopher men's basketball pregame, and then 8 o'clock, the Big Ten home opener. The university hosts Iowa right here. Is all that correct?
Former Gophers guard Ariel McDonald will join me about 7:15, too, to talk about this year's team.
Okay, but Talking Twins is coming up next. Jason Marquis, the new pitcher they got from Washington Nationals.
Arizona at the end of last year.
Arizona,
Washington, Colorado, Cubs, Cardinals, Braves.
Journeyman.
1500 ESPN is KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and now available in high definition on 107.1 FM, KTMY, Coon Rapids, HD2. It's 35 degrees.